1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I used to say years ago that my preaching is like duck hunting. If you get enough lead in the air, you're going to hit something. So that's how today is going to be to a degree. And I know God is a God of order, not of confusion. So my mind and heart were extremely confused today. Not only in where God wanted to go with this, but what's starting to come in now. So I'm sure he'll put it all together for each one of us. If you're visiting today, I'd ask you to just read from the very beginning of this book and start to apply it in our lives, not only personally, but corporately. This isn't just some random word. This is God, I hope, that we each believe, speaking to each one of us, his children, for the things that we need to know for today, for tomorrow, and what's about to come. What Paul was doing in here, just a little backup right away, was in verses 9 and 10 and 11 that we had, we were instructed in those to comfort one another. Okay, and that word is more, remember, I'm not going to do that whole sermon again, but comfort is more than just make it comfortable, you know, give you a little woobie and a pillow, and maybe we'd like some coffee when we go to church and a little snack. You know, God's not talking about that. What he's talking in the Greek word is that we are, as a church, for the time that these Thessalonians were in, and where we are especially today, is when he says comfort one another, he means come alongside of an individual, especially those within the body, and with the gift that he's placed in each one of us, you pass that on, you pay it forward, you help that person, you take a hand and you walk with them until they're strong enough to stand on their own. Churches today, I find we're not doing that to the degree that we're capable of. Why? Because most of the time we don't want to, and we're so involved with where I am right now and what I have and my needs, we forget that God placed a special gift in each one of us, not for me, but he put it in me for you, or he put it in me for you. And I'm supposed to exercise that just like God took this gift of Jesus Christ, put everything that we needed in him, and he came to who? You, and you, and you. He didn't wait for us to come to him, did he? He waited patiently for us to say yes, but he came in ways that we never even imagined. That's what it means for us as Christians, to comfort one another. Come into somebody's life within this church that we've known for 30 years, and not bring allegations or complaints or I'm tired of this, you know, because I do it better than most of you, as Paul said. I'm a chief in this stuff. Comfort one another. Come alongside and help. Edify, that word edify, as we look in that verse 11, comfort and edify one another. Build one another up. Okay, and that takes time, doesn't it? If you're going to, you can build on sand. Word of God tells us about that. You're going to build on rock, takes a little more. You built most of your house, didn't you? I don't understand that balsa wood was so much cheaper back then in the 70s. And wood bond. You know, why didn't you do that? Because you want it to last a while. God's saying edify one another, build one another up. Why? So we can feel good about ourselves? No. Because this time that existed then in Thessalonica exists a hundredfold today. And if we don't build one another up and come to the comfort of one another, not just in Calvary, but in the other churches where other Christians are, wherever you might live if you're visiting today, there is a force that is trying to tear us down. Period. If we don't build one another up, if we don't build this edifice of, you know, this is just a building. If we don't build the edifice of a church that marches out this door every Sunday morning, nobody else is going to do it. Trust me. Billy Graham's not around anymore. He's not coming to Nederland to give a great crusade. All of the other big shots don't even know where Nederland is unless they read there's a frozen dead guy here while they were on first class flights. This is up to us to edify one another, to build each other up in Christ, okay? So that we can go out there and just show one more beggar where we found some bread. That's as simple as it is. And that's been hitting me, those instructions. And he'll go on in the rest of Thessalonians chapter 5 to give us about 22 ways of doing this while we're waiting for Christ to return. So when I say somebody is trying to break us down, that's not just my feeling. You know, sometimes we do it ourselves with our attitudes. We do it with our own feelings and thoughts and emotions and what I feel should be right. And we break down the body of Christ by our actions. And Satan, I feel, steps back and says, I didn't have anything to do with that. But thanks for the credit. Because we like to blame him. But you know, in a sense, he is the one that somehow is moving this destructive force in breaking down the edifice of the church in the time that we're in. And I'm just going to go there. I've had these things running through me since this morning. Go to Ephesians, if you would. Stuff we all know, right? We've read this how many times? Not enough, but where am I? Not enough. Thank you, Peter. Verse 10 in Ephesians 6. Finally, and this isn't the finale, but do we really know it? Are you going to make it today? Are you going to make it tomorrow? Are you going to be here to visit next year to sing for us, JoJo, Matt? We hope, right? Finally, all this other stuff is going to come to pass. God is saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else is going to be okay. It might not be like we want it, but it's going to be okay. In the interim, something, someone, and Satan is a person. It's not just some enigma. It's not just some thought of some weak Christian's mind to blame somebody. Christ spoke about this power and this force more than anything else in his word. We've been warned about him, and he's trying to break not only you down, your collateral damage, okay? You're a pawn in a chess game that Satan plays continually. He's trying to break down the church. He's trying to break down the edifice of true people who love and follow God for who he is and what he says, and they see it in their lives. He's trying to break that down. He's trying to break it down any way he can. Drugs, family, children, you know. Where's Teddy? Remember Dad and Uncle Tommy? Those communists, they're going to come in here and they're going to get our kids on drugs. And then they're going to break down. We thought they were crazy old men. Yep. Satan is trying to do that, not only to everything that belongs to Christ, but he's trying to do it right here. It says in God's word in 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Sometimes we feel, I got nothing. I can't go another step. Yes, you can, or else God's a liar, because he says, Doug, I can strengthen you to do all things in me, everything, not just what you want to do. So this battle, this force that's tearing us down, put on the whole armor of God. Dawn, you mentioned this morning, something she said, I like to do that, you know, spiritually, mentally. It's not just a practice. It's literal. It's putting on God's protection. How you do it, you might not have to go through every piece, but just we need to get to the Lord before we go out the door, before we turn on the news, whatever channel you might watch, before we maybe even have our cup of coffee in the days that we're in. Finally, we need to get strong in the power of his might, because there is a force. Watch it this week, if you would. It's going to try to break you down in some area. I don't know what it is. And this church, the best thing that can happen in Satan's mind is it just closes its doors. And then he could say, ha, look at that. Where's the Christ now? That's the battle. So we put on the whole armor in 11 that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Here it is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it goes on. So if we're not building up constantly, there's always someone who is tearing down, is the logic in that. Well, you know, that's why Doug makes the big bucks, you know. That's why Ted is the worship pastor. That's why Craig is, you know. No, every one of us are in this body, if you would, to build with one another. And it's more than just a body. Don't take it, you know, we're a body and we all go our separate ways and we all, you know, do what we want during the course of the day. And we either come to church or we don't come to church. And it depends on the mood that I'm in. We're more than a body. I've told you this, when I was a kid, remember Ted Onwood Christian Soldiers at Parkway Community? I wanted to be a soldier. I would march around and boy, this is great, you know. We are soldiers, every one of us. But you know, the war that we're in, wars, you know, Walt, wars were never won by captains and colonels, were they? They needed those men and those women to structure and to organize. But it was won in the trenches. It was won by the little guy and the little woman who was willing to do what was necessary in their position to go. That's who we are today. And I think that's why Paul is saying, finally, let's get our mud together. This is starting to happen at a rapid pace. I'm not promoting watching TV. But we are living in a time right now that there's more concern for foreign aid, if you would, am I getting political, than there is for homeland security. This is the land of the free, the home of the brave. I think it's the land of the home and free of the brave. That, you know, you mull on that one for a minute. We are going down. So what can we do to prevent that? I don't think a lot because it's God's plan. But we can do what God is telling us to do. Well, who's going to tell us to do that? Turn to 1 Thessalonians.
You shouldn't understand firm, though.
Stand firm. And you know, that is a true, I mean, this is not a game. This is not a joke. This is not a Sunday happening. Stand firm, what he's talking about. Do you ever see the mass hulk of humanity that hikes the ball to our quarterback? That's standing firm. Head down, butt up in the air, doesn't know what's going on, but it's coming, and he gets rid of it, and then he looks up, and it's already there. That's standing firm. Not stepping out of the way. Oh, man, not me. That's what God means by that. But he means it to every one of us, not just Doug, and not just Ted, or our elders, Peter and Tom. Every single one of us. This is how we have to be in these last days. So who's going to do it? Well, guess what, guys? Here it comes. This is something that's not talked about much in churches. For some reason, because of the abuse, I feel, is one reason. You know, there's movements called shepherding movements where the pastor thinks he is God's gift to the church. Nobody questions him. Nobody goes against his authority. And that's the way it is. He'll tell you who to marry, when to marry, how many children. These things are going on in the Christian church today because of the swelled heads, as Mark Twain said. Problem with the human body is when you pat it on the back, the head swells. What we're going to read here is God's structure and order for a church to exist in these last days. And this is one that we don't hear. We probably don't hear about this one as much, if not less, than church discipline. You got a problem with him? Go to him. You got a problem with her? Go to her. This is an analogy. And if it doesn't work, then you know what you do? You go over here and you get one of the elders and you sits down and listens and tries to weigh it out. If one or the other won't listen, you go get another one. That's Ted or Peter or Craig. You bring those people together in a group and you settle this problem, because Satan is tearing down the body of Christ just in these little divisions of bitternesses. And if that won't listen, then it falls on me, who gets the big bucks, to call it out. Mark that person, the Word of God says. Mark them. You know what that word in the Greek means? It means call them out by name. So let me just use this as an analogy. Ted, you messed up. And we're tired of it. We're not going to have it anymore. Hope you couldn't do anything wrong. You shouldn't have been there, girl. That's what the Word of God is telling us to do. If we don't do it, and we customize it to fit my back pocket where I'm comfortable and not viewed as an individual who's too stern, too rough, too whatever else, the building is starting to fall down. The church is starting to crumble, folks. The wall is breaking in the church. And the only way it's going to get built, just like in Nehemiah, when the enemy comes to try to stop the work, we just say, look, I'm too busy to come down off this wall right now. I got a place here, and I'm going to build. And they built, as you know, with a sword in one hand and the stuff they were building with in the other hand. This is our sword. We got to keep building because the enemy is tearing it down. How do we know that that's not happening right now in these chairs? We know it's happening right now in family structures, but we won't say anything. We know it's happening with attendance, let's say. We won't say anything. We know it's happening in the habits that are reforming in our lives, but we won't say anything. Why? Are we willing to watch the edifice of what some of you have put 40 years of our lives into crumble because of Satan? I would have to say no. So, that's why God did this order and structure. This is not comfortable, what I'm saying, and I'm not blowing, you know, the balloon up for us guys, but in 12 and 13, this is the first step in comforting and edifying and understanding how the church structure works and why do we come here? Do we come for great music? That's good. Do we come here because the snacks are great? That's good. Do we come here because, why? We should be coming here for the Lord Jesus Christ, period, amen, who saved us from death, who took the penalty upon himself, and now what he wants to do is form us into one body. No divisions, no schisms. And who is going to do that? I'll do it today. Wherefore, comfort yourselves, edify one another, even as you do. Keep on doing it, is what he's saying. And we beseech you, brethren, beseech you. He's almost, he's crying. He's begging right now to these Thessalonians to know them which labor among you. There's three parts in this too, if we look at it in a sense. To know those who labor among you. Know, that word know is much more than just, oh yeah, Ted Zielinski. What's that guy? Oh yeah, Tom, that's right. Which Tom, Neil, Pratt? You know, it's more than just know by name. It means to know who they are, what they do, to bring myself into their place and do what it's going to say here, but to feel free with them, to speak my heart, to feel free to these elders and pastors, to tell them the things that are trapping me right now, not to worry about it. Know those people, because God's saying those are the ones that I put there so that you can go to them. If somebody comes to us, we don't go and tell everybody else. They want to know, I know I'm safe with you, brother. I know it'll never get repeated. I know your heart is towards me right now. That's what God is saying here in this structure that we need in the last days, to know them which labor among you. So it's not just pastors. This goes towards pastors and elders, but those who labor among you. Do we know those who labor among us? Labor among us, work among us, is what he's saying. We should know that. Stand up for a minute, Nate. Just, you know, I'll embarrass you. That's Nate Baumhover. Okay, you can sit down. That's all you get. Do you ever notice when it's snowing and you're getting out of your car that the sidewalk is shoveled? Because Doug called Nate and said, get out there and shovel it? You know, that's what he does. He labors among us for the snow, for the grass that's cut, for the little things that I'm going to add to his life this year that he's not even, he didn't even have an idea. But to know them, he does that. Do you know Mike? Do you know Mike O'Keefe? Most of us here, you know, and I'm not going to ask everybody. Mike Leber's among us. He teaches the men every Wednesday night. Do you know Ma? Ma teaches the women on Wednesday evenings. Do you know, we can just, do you know Ted? Do you know Tom? Oh, we know those. Do you know those who labor among you? Those who are working to edify Peter in the kitchen, you know. We need to start doing this, not take it for granted. You know, I sense in some way, do you remember when you were a kid, we used to go to Westbury Movie Theater, remember? You'd have your popcorn, your Coke, when you're all done, threw the popcorn under the seat, put the, people would say back, some people, not most of my friends, don't do that. Not, my response was, if I didn't do that, that kid wouldn't have a job out there. It was their job too. Clean up all the stuff on the floor. Or flashlight. Hey, cut that out over there. That was their job too, you know. Know those that labor among you. They're not doing it for any kind of monetary gain. They're laboring because Christ called. Christ asked. They responded. We're to know them. We're to respect them. Hold them in high regard. To know those that are over you in the Lord. That means, you know, a pastor, in a sense, he's a guide. He's a leader. He's trying to work us through the Word of God and admonish you. That's a tough one. You know, so if you look at those, what is the body of Christ supposed to know in these last days? Know those who diligently labor over you. Start to know them and start to pray for them is all I'm asking. Not money, not, I've never asked anybody to call me Pastor Doug. I'm Doug. I'm just a guy that God asked to get up here and speak what I just gave you, and I took that responsibility. Alice calls me Pastor, even when I tell her, you don't have to do that. She does. I respect that. I thank you. And respect is something that you earn. You don't demand it. So know those who are diligently laboring among you. What God is saying is to the point of fatigue, to weariness, to exhaustion, there are people, whether they be snow shovelers, grass cutters, teachers, all the stuff that they have in their life, they also have to care for the body of Christ and make sure the word goes out, worship leaders, whatever it might be. Over you is just to stand over, guide, and protect. And any pastor who doesn't protect his flock is not worth his salt. God tells us that over you in the Lord. See, I'm not over anybody. It's like, the president isn't any better than me. As far as a man goes, his office is better. He's over me in government. So what God is asking for us as a church, in order to comfort and edify, know those people who diligently labor over you, guides, in my will, in my ways, not their own. Are we doing that these days? Admonish. That word in the Greek means to warn if they're out of step. It's all that we're supposed to do in accordance to God's word. The church is tearing itself down because of the way we criticize, speak, gossip, click, whatever it might be. We're tearing down the church without anybody else's help. There's enough flesh in every single one of us to destroy a church. Do we understand that? God is saying, start building, finally. We're in a battle. We're in a war. I need every single one of us. Admonish and admonish. We admonish one another. Are you kidding? What are you, you know, and don't take this real personal. We admonish one another. You shouldn't be eating that. You shouldn't put that in your mouth. Don't do that. That'll do this. That'll do that. Look how fat you're getting. Oh, my goodness. Look how skinny you are. Oh, you better eat something. That's not what God is saying here. Amen. We're killing each other. We're breaking down the wall that God has built by doing, admonish one another in and with God's word. Don't give up, brother. We only got a short time left. Don't let that get you to walk away or whatever. Admonish means to gently guide and lead. Can I have another one? Turn to Acts. I think this is a great one. Paul was, Acts 20. I better stop pretty soon. You know, when he says to admonish, the word as Paul used was to do that, a heartfelt concern. The only reason why we should admonish or warn somebody is because I really care about where you're going, where you're heading, what this is going to lead to. Didn't you do that to your kids? Every one of us? Don't do that. Why? Because you want to do it so bad and they're doing it. You knew what the end result was. You knew if I walked into that and this is what happened. We try to warn tearfully, though. And that's exactly, and I'm speaking to the pastors right now. If we can fake this, we have no business being in the pulpit. None of us. If we can fake the true admonition of the Lord into a, you know, well, I really care about you, when in my mind I'm saying, I just wish you'd go somewhere else. God is asking the church to build itself up, starting with us guys, elders and pastors. In verse 30, it says, also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. God put an order in the church for a reason. Like I said, you know, I was a cop. I got transferred because I was insubordinate to a captain, lost the greatest detail ever, got thrown into a cesspool of a place, couldn't have been any worse, and lo and behold, the same captain that transferred me wound up being up in this pit with me. And I hated him. And my uncle was the deputy commissioner of New York City. He said, kid, you have messed yourself up so bad, I can't even help you out of this one. But I can tell you this, highball that guy every time you see him. Salute him every time you see him. Yes, sir, no, sir. That's what God is asking from the people, the body, the you and the them. Did you see that in there when we first read it? He's asking us, don't just respect the position that I set up for church structure, and it's going to work really good. So Paul, again, says that, you know, people are going to come and draw away disciples. That's why I said there's enough flesh in every one of us, just one of us, to destroy a church if we don't keep it at bay, because Satan will use that. Therefore, watch and remember, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you, everyone, night and day, with what? With tears. That's concern. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Not my opinion, not my idea, not what I think worked for me. This might work for you. When the leadership of a body of Christ is concerned to the point of tears, when they lose sleep, when that's all that matters, and they come to you, please listen to them, is what I'm saying. That's the position that God gave to them. And then we direct you to the word of God, which Paul says here, which is able to build you up. That's that edify again. Edify one. Oh, you know, we can get a whole commission here and we can knock out, we can put a sunroom on this building right here. And we can have all this room. That's not the building. You're the building. You're the building. You're the building. And my job, their job, is to build it up the best we possibly can by coming alongside, by giving God's word, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them who are sanctified. Just turn back and I better end. Esteem them very highly. Esteem them very highly. God is saying, that's the word is super abundantly in the Greek. Really? I'm not sure if I like that worship. I really don't like the way Doug teaches. No, I don't like that youth group. Those guys don't lead any youth group. All they do is study God's word. What is the word saying here? Esteem them very highly, super abundantly, above. That means the guy who cuts the grass and shovels the sidewalk. That means the teacher who instructs back there for the labors and the battles that that individual goes through. The worship team, did we know that worship teams in the very beginning, they had no weapons? When they went into war, they just went out there with their little tambourine and some funky little ram horn and whatever, and they led the army into battle. They went first. They're targets. Every one of them, front, back, sides, esteem them very highly. I don't like that music. No. This is what God put in order, in structure, in this church, in Alaska's church, in California's church. We're supposed to build that up. Might not be my kind of music, but you know, that's not too bad, really. Yeehaw! I never liked the yeehaw from the first day I heard it. But you know my heart when I sing it? It's like, let's give it to God. Yeehaw on a touchdown. Yoo-hoo! But I can't yeehaw God that he's coming back, that he's got all this stuff, and all he's saying is, Doug, get your sword, get some mortar, get your place on the wall, and when you hear the trumpet blowing, get over there. Run to that breach in the wall, because the enemy is trying to tear it down. The enemy's trying to get you and me off the wall. I'm going to stop there. Be at peace among yourself. Look at that, verse 13. Why does he end with that? There must have been some discrepancies in the church at Thessalonica during that time. Whatever the reasons were, he doesn't tell. But be at peace. Why would he say that? Be at peace with yourselves. See, we're not going to be at peace with that town that we live in out there, not with everybody. We're not going to be at peace with this government that is ruling and reigning over us, however it's being driven at this point. I know that that's Satan, and he's using pawns. We're not going to be at peace the way we want peace. So what Paul is saying is, I've given you something here that you can accomplish. You can comfort one another. You can come along somebody and help them. You can edify by building that person up, holding on to them. We can be at peace with ourselves. Stop the quarreling. Stop the bitternesses. It says that if you bite and devour one another, you'll be consumed one of another. You're going to eat each other up. Has nothing to do with Donald Trump, whoever else you want to put in there. It's us. And the Lord God in his church structure is saying today, be at peace with one another. And if you're not, we're going to this table. This is the place to make our peace with God, period. Lord, I've kind of pushed. I've kind of insisted. I've walked away from whatever it is. I've broke this down. I've allowed my flesh to get in here. God wants to meet you at this table today so that there can be peace within each and every one of us, no matter what the circumstances. We don't have to like them. We don't have to agree with them. But God is saying, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives. Oh, vacation, a car, a promotion. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Be a good cheer, though. Even though you're going to have troubles, I've overcome it. This is the structure of the church that is as necessary as anything to hear if we're going to be a body. I don't demand anything. If any of the pastors besides myself ever demand, mooch, whatever, because the Word of God says, you be examples to the flock. Not lording over them for a paycheck, which these guys, trust me, they do not. But be examples unto the flock. And then the flock is supposed to obey those that have the authority over us so that we might listen and hear God's word and that they can do it with joy. Why? Because we all have to give an answer to God at one point in time. That might have been hodgepodge, but I feel that God is trying to restructure, if you would, not restructure. He always had the right structure. He's trying to build this church. He made us a promise that the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against his church, this one and all the others. Let's not, because of opinions, differences, or whatever else, let's not neglect what Christ has given to us for these final days, to give it our best. What was the Three Musketeers? One for all and all for one. That's basically what it is. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. You're not your own. We might think we are, but we're not our own. Glorify God. The way we do it is when we walk out of here, we walk out in unity. We walk out of here in strength. We walk out of here as one body. When people look at us, hear us, talk to us, there is nothing of that world coming out of these lips about the body of Christ. Father God, thank you for your word. Again, church structure is a hard one, Father. It does get abused. All of us fall short, Lord. But we're asking you that just for our body, that we will be at peace, that we will build up one another. And Father, we'd take it beyond these doors and we'd start to build up those who are broken, comfortless, those who are heavy laden, Father, with the burdens of this world, that we would be able to come to their side and show them what we found. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I got a whole sermon for next week still. Ha! What do we do now? Puh. Okay. I thought we worshiped. Are you leading us? We're going to go to the table. Do this in remembrance of me. What? What did he do? What did he do for you? If we can't confess anything right now, and what I'd ask is, we don't go to the table and make vain promises, empty, oh Lord, I'm not going to do this. Oh Lord, I'm never going to do that again. That's not what he's asking for us to do here, because that's exactly where the enemy, who's trying to build this rotten-looking structure, God's asked, just remember me. I died for you. I love you. I can take care of anything that's going on in your life. I don't care what it is. He's just asking us today, just remember me. Do you remember the first day you found him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember that feeling? I'm free. My burdens are lifted. I'm forgiven. That's all he's asking us to do today as we go to the table.